You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 67. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 67. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Rock Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have an interview with Brian, who currently runs the Ruckership Network. The Ruckership Network, also known as TRN, has a pretty big presence on Twitter, and they've been around for quite a while now. It was started by Tim, who was one of the co-founders of F3 and recently taken over by Brian. And I was curious what he had planned for TRN. After reaching out to him and talking, I got really excited because I learned that they're going to focus less on adding rucking divisions to current races and instead setting up middle school ruck clubs. I don't want to give too much away because we've got a nice interview for that, but needless to say, I've got a heart for kids and I was really excited when he brought that up. Before we get into the interview, as always, I want to give some thanks to those who have left reviews on either our Facebook page or on our iTunes page. You can get to either of those by searching for All Day Ruck Off on Facebook or on iTunes podcasts. This week's review is a recommendation from Dawn, who says, "Love the podcast and super awesome gear. Just got my reflective bands for my ruck in time for the Mog Mile next week. Thank you for the super fast shipping." Dawn, thank you so much for taking the time to leave that recommendation. It's truly appreciated, and it really makes me happy that you would recommend the podcast and the All Day Ruck Off store. So thank you so much for doing that. Big news for this week: GORUCK Selection 020 indexed last weekend, and there is a single finisher, Doug. If you missed the live coverage, we've got a post on the website at alldayruckoff.com where we aggregated all of the videos. So you can check it out there, or you can hit up GORUCK's Facebook page. But either way, it was absolutely amazing to watch him get through that event. And at the very end, when he was doing those ruck overhead presses 48 hours into this thing, he was looking about as good as I do fresh doing ruck overhead holds. So I was beyond impressed with him. Doug, if you listen to this, awesome, awesome job, man. We were rooting for you over here and we're so proud of you, as the rest of the GRT community is as well. One thing that did come out of GORUCK Selection, Jason kind of offhandedly mentioned Team Assessment, which is a new GORUCK event that they'll be putting on in April 2019 over at Jason's dad's house, which is where they hosted Selection this year. We've got a write-up on the website about Team Selection that pulls some quotes from a couple different news sources, so you can get a slightly better idea of what to expect from that. That's also at alldayruckoff.com. And then final announcement, we've got some new gear available in the All Day Ruckoff store at alldayruckoff.com/store. There's some new magnet and patch sets, as well as a restock on Drink Hard, Ruck Harder shirts, now available in 3 colors, as well as a couple Drink Hard, Ruck Harder hoodies. And there's very few quantities of those, so they might be gone if you get there late. If you enjoy this podcast, we would love if you would leave either a review or a recommendation on our iTunes page or our Facebook page. And as always, if you have any suggestions for upcoming podcasts or any issues with our previous podcasts, email me, Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayruckoff.com. Thank you so much for all of the incredible support. And here is the interview with Brian. Today, I'm talking with Brian, who currently runs TRN, which is known as the Ruckership Network. I'm really excited to talk to him today because I've been following TRN on Twitter and seeing what they've been up to, and it's really, really cool stuff. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Man, I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you again. I just want to say thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for being on here.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to sharing our message.
Great. Well, before we get into TRN, I would love to hear about how you got involved in rucking and in this whole community.
It's funny. It's by accident is the short answer to that. I had gotten far out of shape after getting out of the military. I got out of the Navy in 1998, went to college and became a fat college guy and became a fat college adult and gotten out of shape, picked up the habit of smoking cigarettes, and two packs a day, and went outside to play basketball with my boys one day and lit a cigarette. It took me about 3 minutes to smoke it. When I was finished, I threw the butt down and was ready to come inside. Oh, boys, it's halftime. And the oldest boy just kind of was used to that. He kind of went on his way. And the youngest one, the look on his face just crushed me. You know, and he said, already? And I was out of breath. I was doubled over, hands on my knees, couldn't move. And I was devastated. And I came inside and I plopped my fat rear end down on my spot on the couch and picked up my iPad, which is how I spent most of my time at the time. This is in 2013. And started flipping through Facebook and tears just kind of welled up in my eyes and rolling down my cheeks. And I'm just going through Facebook, and a guy named Mark Devine had an ad on Facebook for his new book called 8 Weeks to Seal Fit. And, for whatever reason, I told my wife I was buying that book and I bought it and read it and decided I wanted to kind of change my life. And so as I started getting into shape, I kind of realized that, I needed something challenging, and I'm not even sure how I found GoRuck at all, somewhere on the interwebs and in a Google search and clicking through things and reading. I found just this very ultra vague article about this guy who did this awesome event and kind of what he wore and that kind of stuff. But he very flatly said, I'm not going to give you any details of the event, because nobody talked about what went on in the events much, you know, back then. And so he didn't give any really details of what happened. Well, I'm a super curious person by nature, and so I got to figure out what this is. So I signed up for an event. I signed up for the 9/11 event that year, and I had no idea what I needed or what I should do or how I should train or anything. And a buddy of mine signed up with me. Eventually, we also stumbled on Pathfinder, and that got us ready. And ironically, I'm still a CA. Class 6 was my first class of Pathfinder, so that actually got us really ready for that event. I at the time I was the editor of a news website, so I went and traded the local Army Navy store some advertising so I could get a ruck made by a company called the Gunny. And the ruck itself is as heavy as you'll need if you're doing a light event. It's not a great ruck for an event, but it held up. It did its thing, man. But man, it is heavy. I got that, and I got some boots, and I got some tack pants, and some tack socks, and all this stuff that I thought I would need to tackle whatever they gave me. And I was grossly underprepared gear wise, and food wise, and hydration wise. I had no idea what to even be ready for. But the event was fantastic, and I was pretty well hooked for a while. And so I would ruck a lot, and it was by myself. There was my buddy who did the event with me. He kind of, he still's kind of hit or miss on it. You know, he likes to come around, walk around, and talk, but he's not really into the doing the events and things like that. And so I was by myself for a long time. I kind of got out of it for about 18 months, where I was training up for the Blue Ridge Relay. And after I did that, I ran into a guy who had just moved back to town. And he said, hey, I heard about this thing called rucking. You ever heard of it? And so we have, he and I have worked together and with a couple other guys who started a ruck club and have really been spreading rucking here. And so that's kind of how I got into it. And I like to talk. So running's not good for me, but rucking is superb. Lots of time to talk to folks and get to know them and engage with them, which is what I really enjoy about it.
That's awesome. And I completely agree. One of the best parts about rucking is that you get to build that community. And it's a lot harder to do that with running because everyone has their own pace and everyone's trying to, you know, do their own thing. So that's nice. And that's awesome. It worked out with the guy who came to town and asked if you knew what rucking was. Whenever someone asks me that in person, I always have to hold my tongue and figure out how to not scare them away.
Right, right. Or how to not sit them down for coffee for the next 3 days and gush about how awesome it
is. Exactly. It's like, all right, how can I ease them into this without just absolutely terrifying them? And that's awesome. So you did your first event with your friend, and that's great because my first event, my friend who was supposed to showed up bailed on me. So
yeah, that's bad.
I'm glad yours came. After that first event, I mean, you mentioned that you were rucking around. Did you sign up for any future events after that?
I didn't do any events at all, just because I was a tad bit intimidated of my own. I have a real, really big motivator chip problem, where I usually spend on my best days about the first 10 minutes after I wake up with excuses of why I can't do things, or why I need to get up and go work out. On bad days, it gets to be about 30 minutes where my brain is just pummeling me with these things. So I got a little intimidated about my ability to complete one and lost some confidence, had gained some weight back. Was working through, you know, just some personality issues that after I joined F3 that kind of, oh, I'm supposed to be a better person than this. Okay. And so trying to adjust some things and kind of lost some motivation for a while. But I did, we just ruck at the house by myself. A lot of times I would do that while I would sit and listen to different things. I was a reporter. I covered mostly crime and courts, so I would listen to a lot of 911 tape stuff and or other audio of interviews and things of that nature. And in 2016, I believe it was, a couple other guys here just got an itch that they wanted to go do a GoRuck event. And I'm not even sure how they stumbled on it themselves. So they actually reached out to me and said, "Hey, we want to go do this thing. We don't even know what to do." So we trained a little bit and we went and did a light up in Greenville, South Carolina. And then since then I've done several more events. I got the bug pretty heavy again. You know, the one we did in Greenville was actually, that was Cadre Chewy's first weekend. And, if you've done an event with him, you know, it was a good one, for sure. He's a great guy. A lot of great knowledge that he passes on very well. So I really got the bug bit back in me, and it's been a point to the point now where my wife is forcing me to either get a second job or stop doing so many events. So I've opted obviously for the second job option or something like it, to try and help facilitate that. I still do some side work, some digital design work and things like that. So to cover my ruck addiction, which is now fueled by, you know, a number of other people in a ruck club.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're by yourself, I mean, you can do a little bit of work kind of tabling the addiction, but when you've got other people that you're meeting up with and rucking, and then, you know, they're getting excited and that gets you excited, it's just, I mean, it's bad for spouses everywhere.
It is.
Oh, that is too awesome. Yeah. I tried to get my wife involved. She did one light and that was it. And I was hoping that if I could get her hooked, then I would have passes for basically every event because she would totally, she would totally be down, and then we could travel for events, but you know, not the case. I think I'm in a very similar boat to you where it's, you know, figure it out.
That's right. Yeah. I'm afraid if my wife ever got into rucking, it would be kind of like a Sid and Nancy situation for us when we'd probably end up both hooked so badly we'd strangle each other trying to see who got to go to what event.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, maybe, you know, now that you say that, maybe it's for the best.
That's right.
So TRN, the Rockership Network, do you want to talk a little bit about how that got started? I know it's been around for a while. OBT, one of the founders of F3, kind of started it, and then I know it got handed off to you. So I would love to hear the origin about it and what's going on.
So yeah, like all things related to F3, it seems, at least from my experience, is things I kind of stumbled into it. Tim Whitmire, or OBT, started it, and he was really into going around to races and, you know, marathons and half marathons, things of that nature, and getting a rucking division added and helping set that up and facilitate that. And he had some success doing it, and it kind of went away for a while. So he had to focus on some other things. He kind of had to let it go. And I wasn't even aware of that. I just remember seeing it and seeing about the races and knowing some folks from down in Lexington, South Carolina, who are the NAS Ruckers down there. I saw them, you know, they did a race and had a cool patch, and that was pretty neat. And we have a really cool facility here in my hometown of Greenwood, South Carolina, a really good genetic facility, one of the top in the world. And they have this awesome 5K race to raise money for the foundation that supports all the genetic research there. And the guy who runs that race, and said, "Hey, what about a rucking division? I see some of you guys are out here rucking a good bit." And so I pinged the Ruckership Network on Twitter and said, "Hey, is this still a thing? I know a guy needs some help." And about 15 minutes later, I had an email from Tim and said, "Hey, this is what it was. This is what's happened to it. You know, I've been looking for someone to hand it off to and let them do their thing with it." So I talked to him a good bit about what he was doing, and what kind of his vision had been for it. And then I came back and talked to my Shield Lock guys and my wife about the possibilities of it. And at the time, we had just had a shooting. No one was hit, luckily, but it was in our mall, and it kind of really rattled the community. And as a matter of fact, today I'm actually going to a community forum on violence meeting as part of my job. That's a result of the spike in gun violence that we had. And it was really the pinnacle of it was the shooting in the mall. There's your typical family of four with a mom, dad, boy, girl who were literally about 2 feet from having their worlds altered forever as the bullets went about two feet over their heads. So that really, really shook our community. It really shook me personally, because I work for the solicitor's office here, what most people refer to as a district attorney. So I work in the criminal justice system. I see, you know, how all this stuff happens and the difficulties, and I see all the people that we end up, you know, putting on trial. There's a common theme, and the common theme is that there was never really a good male role model in their lives. And that just kind of struck deep with me that something needed to be done. And in typical F3, when something you feel like something needs to be done, then you're the guy. And so my first thought was naturally to find somebody else to do it. And I searched high and low to find someone else who might be willing to kind of take the reins of it. Of course, you know, there wasn't anyone who thought they would, "Hey, this sounds like you got the passion for it, man, go for it." And so finally, I decided that's kind of how we would approach with the Ruckership Network, is that we would seek to unite the rucking community under one tent and try and facilitate and support and advance the rucking in any way we could. But largely we wanted to build a model for middle school ruck clubs, and that's what we're in the process of doing. So myself and another guy by the name of Paul Holbert, or known as Stinger, he and I are in the beginnings of a collaboration to bring to a middle school ruck club, which we intend to start in the spring. So right now we're kind of trying to ramp up to that, raise some money, raise some awareness, to get, you know, rucks and that kind of stuff for the kids. And then our intention here is to start one that's focused on boys, because I don't know how to be a good woman. We are not excluding women at all, but I just don't know how to be a good woman. And so we're going to build this model, and hopefully these people who see it and follow it say, I want to do that in my town. And if they have some women who are willing to invest in young ladies, then by all means, we hope that happens. We just have, you know, four guys who are trying to make an impact here in town. And if some women join in, that's awesome. Young ladies need some guidance too. I just don't know how to guide them. I know what it's like to be an angst-ridden young man. I didn't have a super pleasant childhood. That's I know how to react to those kids. And so really passionate about trying to help them and let them know that someone cares. And we think rucking is a great way to do that. So we'll have a ruck club once a week in the middle school. And then on one Saturday a month, we'll have a big to do with the kids, and we'll take them on a ruck or something like that, have breakfast, some very targeted discussion, again, back to Q-Source, but and encouraging the men who are participating to mentor a young man and invest in that young man and spend time with him. It's very similar to how Big Brothers Big Sisters worked when you and I were kids. You know, that's, to me, that is where our society is missing the mark. Everything can be traced back to men. This is my opinion solely, but to men not being good men and not doing what men needed to do universally, men as a group. So fortunately, I know a lot of really good men who aren't that way and want to invest and want to help their world be a better place. And I just can't think of any better way, Brian, honestly, better than rucking. And there's just nothing that builds and fosters relationships quite the same as the mutual suffering of going on a ruck and having the time while you're suffering together to engage and strip down a lot of superficial barriers we put up when we're having a conversation. They just kind of come down when there's a backpack on, you're starting to sweat. And at some point you get into this thing enough, you got to talk each other through it. And through some bad spots, and maybe one of you is not in a bad spot and one of you is. And there's so many great relationship builders built into that backpack with that weight in it. That I can't think of a better way to accomplish that mission than to try and put a backpack on these kids and say, hey, let's spend some time together. And let me tell you my experience and what I've learned over my lifetime, what it takes to be a good man. And hopefully, you know, that can affect some change in the community overall.
Man, that's awesome. I'm so excited on so many different levels for this. So starting off, Tim started TRN to bring rucking divisions to races. And then, you know, you kind of fell into this because you had a friend who wanted to add a rucking division. So it's really by chance that you hit Tim up about that. And then he kind of told you everything about TRN. And in typical fashion, you were the person who asked. So now you're the person who gets to do this.
Yeah. Here you go. Yep. Have fun. Let us know how it goes. You know, it's sink or swim. You know, it's just probably the best way to do it. You burn the boats and go for it.
Absolutely. So that's awesome. And I'm really excited about this. I was excited. I've talked to Tim quite a bit about TRN with bringing rucking divisions to races. And I was excited about that because I like the idea of bringing, you know, rucking to the masses. But what you're doing with the middle school ruck clubs, with being, you know, role models for these people who need them, I mean, I'm way more excited about this. Sorry, Tim, if you're listening, but I'm way more excited about.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is all of that, all of the passion and fire that I have. Honestly, you can thank Tim and Dave for starting this F3 thing, and for whomever thought one day, sometime, you know, 150 years ago, it'd be a great idea to put on a backpack and go for a walk. Those people too, because they have really facilitated, you know, the fuel and the fire for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited. So this coming spring, so that'll be spring of 2019, or yeah,
that's
2019
right,
is when you'll be starting up this Ruck Club. Is it a middle school that's local to your area, I take it?
It is. It's at my youngest son is in eighth grade, and he's a student there. That's where we hope to. There's another school that's actually in the town of Greenwood that is interested as well. That school is, I don't know, 5 miles up the road from my house. So it will be super local to us to start. And really what we need to do, what we're trying to do is just build a pattern and find out in typical collision learning fashion, let's go out there and fail and figure out what's working and what's not. And so we just kind of want to get our feet wet and figure it out with one school and hopefully, you know, spread that out and branch it out. And, you know, you have no idea what you're getting into, and you start making these commitments, and then you start, you know, looking around and saying, okay, well, I need some things. I need a website. I need a way to raise money. I need a way to collect it. I need a way to disperse it. I need transparency in that. I need other people to provide me some accountability and oversight, i.e. a board type deal. Because we are in the process of trying to get TRN registered as a 501c3, and who knew lawyers cost so much to get that done. So, you know, it's you just don't even think about these things, but it's amazing when you talk about kind of coming into it by chance. I did hear Dredd say one time, you know, they call it a coincidence if you believe in such. And I'm not a big believer in coincidences. And so I believe it was kind of a divine intervention of things, that such a perfect amalgamation of moments that came together to provide the opportunity. And when you realize that you're on purpose and on mission, it gives you a little gusto. But you just, there's so many things that you don't think about, the time commitments. And so that's why we had initially anticipated we could start one in the fall, and it was a swing and a miss. So we have pushed it back to the spring just so that we can make sure we have good curriculum, that we have some uniformity of the messaging that the men are giving to the boys. We want to make it as easy for a man to get involved as possible. And we also want to make sure that we are carrying an appropriate message to young men. And so that takes time and effort. And so, you know, it's a lot of fun doing it. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun once we get it into practice.
And I love how forward thinking you are on this, you know, documenting everything you're doing and really trying to build a plan and a template that another, you know, group or area could probably reach out to you about and, you know, and figure out what worked for you, what didn't, and you could help them out and use TRN to set up something else across the country.
Yeah, that is the exciting part, is I think there's some virality to it, because people largely, especially in the rucking community, I would think you'd be hard pressed to find 10 people in the entire rucking community who legitimately don't want to make their world better. Sometimes we don't know how to do that. I was that way for a while. I've kind of floated around doing various things that people ask me to do, and trying to seek out opportunities where I could, and always knowing I was helping, but never really feeling that deep fire inside. And so that's what we want to give people a way to find. Maybe this isn't their thing, but maybe they try it and they don't like it, and that's fine. But maybe what we're hoping is that we provide a pathway for people to find their own D2X and start to live on purpose and on mission, because they know in their community, these kids need some people to come alongside them and tell them they care. And if we have done the failing and retooling over and over again, that means that we can really provide somebody that the barrier to entry is much lower. If we say, hey, we've got a plan that works, it's adaptable to you, your community, your kids, and we're happy to help you adapt to that and support you, then all you have to really worry about is focusing on how you're going to help those kids, it makes it a lot easier to get involved. And that's what we're hoping to do. And that's why we've been so meticulous about everything that we're doing, is so that there is that lower barrier entry, because ultimately we want people to see this, see the problems in their own community, whatever they may be, and start taking action on those problems and making the world a better place.
That's great. And I think you just hit so many points there. I mean, it's important to be involved and serve with something that you're passionate about. There's just dozens, you know, more than dozens. There's, you know, tons and tons of nonprofits out there that are, you know, accepting all kinds of volunteers. But, you know, it's important that the one you spend your time with is one that really resonates with you and you feel like that you're making an impact, and it's, you know, it's something that you leave feeling refreshed and excited about. And I mean, this is a podcast about rucking and about the GRT community. So, I mean, a way to involve service and giving back to the community and mentorship with rucking is awesome. I mean, that's
yeah, we're looking so forward to it. I have not been this excited about something probably since my kids were born. It's the bug has bitten me pretty hard. We're super excited. We think lives can be changed, not just here in Greenwood, South Carolina, but all over the world.
I completely agree. And I think it's, again, like you said, you mentioned, you know, lowering the barriers to entry. And I think that is so cool. And then the follow-up to that is, if there are barriers, you're exposing them as you stumble across them, so that when someone comes to you, you can say, you know, you'll need to do this 2 months out, you know, and then there's a good chance that this will pop up. So you have to be ready for it. And I feel like, you know, so many of those things that you're coming into that's brand new, it's, you run into these barriers because you didn't even think that they would exist. And so by kind of giving someone the full roadmap, you know, they can see the stops, they can see where things might get a little tricky or tough, and then they can just mentally prepare themselves, and that will just, you know, give them a much better chance at success.
Absolutely. As H.P. Lovecraft was famous for exposing, the greatest fear people know is the fear of the unknown. And so hopefully by, like you said, collision learning and going through the process and figuring out all these different things that happen, hopefully we can remove that fear, because it is my belief, at least based on my experience and the experience of the people I've talked to just in my inner circle, that largely we don't take action because we fear the unknown of what happens when we start taking that action. And I think mostly we fear a lot of times how radically it could shift our lives. And I don't know that we're always prepared for that. I certainly wasn't prepared for the kind of radical shift and focus that my life took, both when I first read Free to Lead and had joined F3 and now taking over the Ruckership Network over the last couple of months, where a lot of my free thoughts, where I used to delve into random thought experiment type things and chase rabbits down holes, just to, you know, as I was sitting and thinking, I'm constantly thinking about ways to change the lives of middle school kids. And that's just a weird, odd thing for me. So hopefully we can take away the fear of the unknown that comes from that. And at least take away the fear of the unknown of the minutia and the administrative type parts of it. We can't, you know, obviously take away the fear of how it might change your life or how you might change someone else's life, the good and the bad, but we can't take away the fear of the rejection of a school or the low turnout for kids or whatever. Some of the things that administratively pop up, background check stuff, anything like that. We hope to have sorted all of that kind of stuff out, so that when it's time to set one up somewhere else in fall of 2019, that we have the complete guide as we know it at the time. And the bonus to being, kind of a unifying voice, much like yours in the rucking community, is that we can take the experiences of all the places and put that together, so that when new places pop up, there's an even more complete roadmap. And that's the goal, is to get everybody working toward that one mission and trying to make it as easy as possible as we go forward.
That's awesome. And I'm excited. I just, like I said, I really, really do love the approach to this. And it's nice to have, you know, someone to talk to who's been there before.
Absolutely.
You run into fears that you, I'm sure as you found out so far, that you didn't even know existed. Like when you're just trying to get things set up, you're not even thinking about, you know, low turnout or anything like that. And then you get to the day and then all of a sudden that's a new fear. And it's just nice to have someone to calm your nerves and say, you know, I've been here before, you know, this is how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember, you know, back years and years ago when I started All Day Ruck Off, I was so caught up with how do I get a good looking website out there that when it finally launched and there was, you know, zero visitors on the first day, I didn't even know that was a fear until I got there. And then,
right.
It's like, oh, there's no one here. And then I remember the first day that I had double digit visitors, and that was like the coolest thing.
Yeah.
There's all these things that you don't expect to be afraid of because they're just so far off your radar because you're so planned in the present and the now. So having, you know, TRN, putting the plan together and starting this out and figuring out what those fears can be are just, you know, it's going to be great to calm nerves and just mentally prepare people for putting together a middle school rec club.
And that's our hope, is that we can do that. And hopefully, you know, down the road, that these middle school rec clubs become high school rec clubs, that the kids themselves, that we've built some leadership into them, and that they take it over themselves, or if they know that we can still facilitate those things. We're just super excited about the opportunity to make the world better and hopefully kind of change the direction that our society seemed to have turned in for a period that I think we are seeing kind of, you know, a renaissance, but, you know, hopefully we can help expedite that and get some good men out there in the world.
Absolutely. So is the plan currently to instill, I guess, that kind of leadership thought process and kind of structure in the rec club so that, as you mentioned, when these kids graduate into high school, that they can kind of they can take it over themselves, be leaders of the rec club and keep it going. And then you can continue focusing on a new batch of middle schoolers.
Yes, that is absolutely what we're aiming for. First off, every man is a leader in his home, first and foremost. So every man has to lead. Every man is a leader among his friends. And, hey, you know, we hear a lot of talk in psychology circles about alpha male and dominance hierarchies. And all that's very legitimate stuff. But you can, every man leads in his small group of friends. Now that starts to wane as the circle extends. Some men lead more effectively in the community than others. We think that we can affect that change early and make these young men into good leaders, and that they will understand that every man is a leader. Always, he is called to be that. He is the leader of his family. It's, you know, we a lot of times, I'm so guilty of this. Ask your mother. And instead of making a hard decision that I don't want to make, I'd rather just push it off and shirk the responsibility. So our hope is to teach these boys through middle school and girls. If there are ladies who get involved or want to get involved, we're certainly happy to include girls as well. But essentially, my hope is that when a sixth grader comes into that rec club 3 years later, when he goes into the ninth grade, that he is ready to the first crop to lead as a ninth grader. Then perhaps he leads that thing all the way until he graduates high school, or helps lead it. I believe you need a team, a shared leadership team that's responsible for that stuff. But there always has to be one person, essentially. And so we want to raise these kids up to do that, and so that it can run in perpetuity, and that they get to, you know, basically, you know, hone their chops at leading in some really low risk environments that will allow them to learn the same lessons. So that when there is a high risk environment where they have to make a decision or or lead in some uncomfortable places, that they're prepared for that. They've been through it. And so it's not a big deal when they have to lead through some adversity in their lives and the lives of their family or whatever's happening. As we all know, I mean, life is a turbulent mix of, oh my gosh, and oh my gosh, of the bad, the, oh my gosh, bad things are happening. Oh my gosh, I'm glad nothing bad's happening. So, you know, it's a turbulent cycle of good and bad and how you handle the down spots and how you handle the high spots largely affect everything. And so we want to teach kids, these kids, when they leave, that they are leaders in their home first and then in their community. And they're ready to go out there and change their world for the better. Because you and I are going to be subject to whatever world it is they lead us through. When we're old men and sit on our porch, I'd like to be able to sit on my porch and smoke a cigar and reflect on the good old days and how these whippersnappers don't have their stuff together, right? As opposed to if we don't raise up good leaders in these boys, there's no telling what our world could look like. We may not be sitting on a porch at all. So it is absolutely fundamental that they understand that leadership is an all the time thing. It's expected of you, and you have to do it well if you want to leave a good legacy.
Yeah, I really do hope that when I'm old, I get to sit on a porch.
Hopefully sooner.
Yeah, yeah. If I can retire sooner, then all the better. But one of the things that you said really resonated with me, and that was, go ask your mother, because it is so easy to, you know, shirk the decision making or the, you know, the responsibility of the question. Because I would say, you know, 90% of the time, you know what your wife is going to say when you tell them to go ask your mother. But
right,
being very cognizant and saying, I am a decision maker. I am someone who should be, if they're asking you a question, I should be answering it. And I think building, you know, strong decision makers through this program is going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about this.
You know, when you talk about that, you know, I want to give the impression that I don't think mom has a voice. Most of the time, what I try to make my answer is, let me speak with your mother first. If it's something that, you know, hey, I want so-and-so to spend the night. Well, that affects the family. Let me speak with your mother first. And then I will give him the decision. So I don't want to give the impression that my wife doesn't have a voice. She has a very loud voice in what goes on, because she's the planner, right? And so if she has something planned and I plan on top of it, that's not good for anyone.
The thought that came into my mind when I was thinking of that first was one that actually happened this morning, where my son came up to me and asked if he could eat fruit snacks for breakfast. And it's so easy to, you know, just say, go ask your mom. And then she can be the bad one who says, no, you obviously cannot eat 3 bags of fruit snacks for breakfast. That's not a breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's important to, you know, if they're asking you the question, to be the one that says no and make the decision. Because especially in this day and age, it's really easy to kind of push the responsibility and the consequences of making decisions, or at least attempting to push it off on someone else.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Being strong enough and to just stand there. And even if it's something, you know, as simple as saying, no, you can't have fruit snacks, or no, we're not doing this, but being the one to make those decisions and not just push it off on someone else is an important skill to have. And there's no better time to teach that to someone, like you said, than, you know, when they're in middle school, because when they're, I think we talked about this before the call, but by the time that they're 20 years old, they've had years and years of possibly pushing off responsibility, or I didn't do my homework because of this, or just making up excuse after excuse. And then it's so ingrained that it's harder. It's not impossible to break the cycle, but it's harder to break the cycle than it is when they're at that age where they're learning so much and they're so impressionable.
Right. Right, and when they can start to think for themselves as well, because we had floated the idea of going to elementary schools And we just felt like, you know, you get a prepubescent male, he's not really ready to think in that realm. You know, boys think differently before and after puberty, and the really bad, we all know this, we've all been middle school boys, it's the most horrible time ever already. But it's because they're starting to think for themselves, and they're starting to develop ideas and concepts in their minds that they haven't really found a way to articulate well, and they don't even understand it. There's so much going on. Like you said, they're just at that age, they're a sponge of stuff that will help them into manhood. And then the stuff that they're going to carry into manhood, that when they become 25 and 30 years old and they begin to lead in their communities one way or another, it's my opinion, all men are always leading. You know, you just, what direction is the question? And so if they can exert that influence, you know, positively, the way they learn that is when that stuff starts happening and that change starts happening. And that's why we really think that the middle school age is critical, is that once they've got those ingrained thought processes into their 20s, and in their 20s, the reason we send men, young men that age into war is because you're just invincible and you don't need to change anything. And it's very difficult to, when you find people that age who are making significant change in their lives, they've had a very hard bottom. They've had something very bad happen that has jolted them into thinking they need to change something. It's hard at that age because they feel invincible for them to feel that way. And so before they get to feeling that way, we have to affect that change. And hopefully, you know, a lot of these kids that we see around, and I see it at work, they're angry. They don't think anyone cares about them. They don't, you know, their dad's not around. They may or may not even know who he is. And when they do, he's just not very involved. You know, their mother may or may not act very caring. A lot of times, you know, they just, from the people I observe at work, they just kind of are aloof, and they, you know, it's a convenience thing. You know, if it's convenient to be a mom, then we'll be a mom. If not, I'm not really interested, kind of deal. And so they have no one. They don't feel like anyone cares. And that would make me angry, make me very angry. You know, I wouldn't know how to take that as a kid. And that's really who we're hoping to capture and show them that somebody cares.
I love it. That is awesome. And I love the message behind it. So if someone's, you know, listening and they want to, you mentioned that you're trying to become a 501c3. If they want to support a TRN in some way or another, what can they do?
So the best way, and I will never ask for money without exchanging something of value with someone. Of course, we're Ruckers, so that means patches, right? So we actually have a couple of patches on the website for sale. They're $10 each. One is just our logo. The other one has our tag. It's Ruck Hard for a Better World on the patch. There'll also be later this week, we have another nifty one that just says, "Don't forget to be awesome." That's just something that I've said to my boys every day when they get out of the car, I drop them off at school. I tell them DFTBA, which means "Don't forget to be awesome" every day. And so we've put that on a patch, and those will be for sale later this week, as well as we are doing the Ruck Club here in an effort to raise funds. We are going to climb 110 stories worth of stairs. Of course, we don't have any buildings quite that large in South Carolina, so we have some stairs picked out that are pretty rough, and we're going to go up them an equivalent of 110 stories in honor of 9/11. And there'll be some patches that will be for sale as part of that as well. All the patches will be $10 for these runs as we are trying to raise that money, and that's really the best way. And you can get all those at ruckership.club is the website. And forgive it, I know I mentioned digital design earlier, but of course it's the landscape architect whose grass needs cutting all the time. And as such, we tossed it up in a bit of a rush, and we're still making some adjustments. So forgive the bareness of it at the moment, but those patches are for sale at ruckership.club.
Perfect. And I'll make sure to include a link in the show notes so that everyone can get there quick.
That would be outstanding.
And the follow-up is, if someone's listening to this and they're, you know, really excited about what you're trying to do, and they want to learn more about, you know, the middle school rut club that you're setting up, is the website the best way to reach out and contact you guys?
Yeah, that you can. There's a contact form there. The email address associated with that is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at ruckership.club. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at JuggernautF3, on Facebook. I think the Facebook tag is at PlayByPlayBrian. Once again, B-R-I-A-N. I'm happy to chat with anyone, whether it even be about I'm still had some conversation with some folks about races. I'm still happy to help in any way that I can. As long as there's someone on the ground there where the race is, it's one to kind of head it up. We'll help in the background for sure, or anything, especially helping middle schoolers. That's something that obviously I'm super passionate about, and they can get me any of those ways through the website, through that email address, or Twitter or Facebook.
That's awesome, and it's always nice to meet another Brian who spells their name correctly.
That's correct. I feel the exact same way. Here in the South, it's always with the Y. So I'm always the different one, but I always say my way is the right way.
It is. Sorry, Brian Singlin.
That's right. Sorry, Brian's with a Y.
Yep. Awesome. Well, is there anything that we might have missed going over this, or any shout outs you want to give? Is there anything else that you want to say before we get going?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely some folks who definitely need a shout out. And obviously, Dredd and OBT for F3, especially OBT for trusting me with something that he gave birth to. It was his idea, and trusting me implicitly with it. It's been an amazing experience. Pebbles, who designed all the marks that we have, he was very gracious and helping us out. And did much of the work for Tim has also helped me out going back, and mostly to my folks here, man, who have helped. My wife, obviously, and Michelle Locke, Hulk, Lego Trojan, those guys who have really propped me up, particularly while I have been scrambling around to try and get this thing going.
Awesome. Well, Brian, I'm really excited about TRN and about what you're doing with the Middle School Rut Club. And I definitely think that we'll have to reconnect once you get stuff going, and we can do another episode talking about, you know, everything that's happened. So I want to thank you so much for being such an awesome part of the community, and, you know, just trying to do good and expand this whole rucking thing and being a solid pillar in your community.
I appreciate it. And of course, we appreciate everything you do. You are the voice of the rucking community right now. We appreciate everything you are doing to help promote all the positivity that's going on in the rucking world.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode and learned a lot more about what the Ruckership Network is trying to do. I think it's a really cool idea to set up rut clubs in middle schools and try and teach leadership advice to kids that they'll hopefully use and build on as they grow through middle school into high school and then into young adults and eventually the future of our country. So anything surrounding that and trying to build better Americans and just better members of society makes me incredibly excited. I hope they're very successful in this endeavor, and I can't wait to see how it all turns out. So hopefully I'll be reaching out to him again in maybe 6 months or so, see how the Ruck Club's doing, and maybe have him back on to talk about that. If you want links to anything that we talked about during the show, as always, you can visit the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-067. And if you're listening to this on a podcast player, there's a good chance that it's got the show notes baked right into it. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you would leave a review on either iTunes or on our Facebook page. And again, if you have any suggestions for upcoming guests, or if you had any issues with this episode or previous episodes, as always, you can email me, Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayrockoff.com. Thank you so much for all the incredible support. There's new gear available in the store, alldayrockoff.com/store. And thank you for everything. Don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.